This is a session with Chad, recorded on June 17th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 5:52 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Greetings, Ion.
Hey.
Hey. Okay, so in my last session, we talked about how the wave of a sine wave in triangulation is like a spring. And
a slinky, yeah.
A slinky, yeah. And to imagine a connection between the amplitude and the frequency so that when the slinky is stretched out, the peaks and troughs get less high.
No.
Okay. Now, I've been struggling to come up with a way to express that relationship in terms of how high the peaks and troughs, how high the peaks would be and how low the troughs would be.
Okay. So if you're looking at your line, if you're looking at your imaginary line, the top and the bottom of the box that you'd pull your sine and cosine, have you decided what size circle that you're going to take the degree of the sine cosine wave from?
My first guess was to use the bottom of the box. Okay, if I'm doing a sine wave, to use the bottom of the box as the radius of that circle.
Well, no.
Okay.
Did you want to double down for less?
No, I don't want to split either on this one.
Oh,
so.
You don't want to split? Oh, come on, split aces and eights. It's always good. You can have two winners that way. Okay, no. All right, now the aspect. Now, your words are troublesome to us. You're talking about degrees and radiuses and calculating things, and it's kind of it's okay. Smart enough to do it, okay? You're able to do it, but your words are troubling because we're trying to get you into a visual format. So if it's visual, then you can take and make it into some type of algorithmic formula that then you can just hit and go and hit and go. But you got to get your basis down so you know what it is that your looky box is telling you is, because you got no way to check it. For example, 2 plus 2 so far equals 4. You know this, but if you put 2 plus 2 in your looky box and it equals 6, you'd question it. Would you not?
Yeah. I want to know how big the circle is.
Okay. Then you take a point in the center of the triangle where they intersect. If each plotted point is a dot, where those three circles intersect exactly would give you the size of the circle, the three circles that then you would give that would give you your amplitude.
Have you heard the three circle talk before, Chad? That's
no.
That's another person's session I heard.
No,
but
I haven't.
Remember that idea we came up with? 180 degrees for the pitch, 360 degrees for the amplitude. Run that by him. Remember how we last night?
Okay.
Maybe you can state it and see if that's how you figure out the amplitude.
Okay,
no,
I.
It isn't.
Well,
he already says it isn't, but say it anyways. Might evoke something.
Yeah, what I was seeing, Ion, was that the amplitude of the wave would be based on 360 degrees.
The pi you break up, P-I-E, would be based on 360 degrees rather than the 180 degrees, half pi, for the
pi.
Yeah, P-I. Yeah. But I'm thinking of pieces of pi, P-I-E, you know, you have the four pi's. But anyways, the pitch works with 180 degrees when you're finding the A angle. And the amplitude would be based on 360 degrees. So ion, that's viable? Okay, so forget that, Jed. Go back to the three circles. I heard him tell another client this.
So okay, Ion, this is the first time I've heard about the three circles, so please explain to me the plotting of three circles.
First time you asked, okay? You pull a sine and a cosine wave off of your angle. You've learned how to write, justify any triangle to get your angle, okay? You've learned how to do that to adjust those to make sure that it's the correct angle, a degree that you're pulling your sine, cosine from, but you've questioned or queried with the period or frequency of how often it repeats. But if you remember way back yonder when you had your little soiree together, you had a picture of a triangle with a dot in the center that had a line connecting that center dot?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how you gauge the size of the circles, the size of the cylinder. Let's do it this way. Do you know what a toilet paper holder roll is?
Yeah.
If you empty a roll of toilet paper, you have a cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a triangle, okay, and if it's an equal triangle, okay, if it's equal, then you would have three rolls, empty rolls, standing up on the flat piece of paper, and they would touch at a single point. Well, then that would tell you the size of those rolls. But if you have any other size or shape of triangle, then the circles would be different size. Okay? So what you do then is you would find the center point and measure, and that would then be a radius of the size circle that you would pull your sine cosine with. That would give you your how tight or loose the slinky is stretched.
But would that be the same size for A, B, and C's?
Rarely ever. The only time it would be is if you had an exact equal triangle, and you rarely do.
Okay, so you're saying, you know, if I had a 60-60-60 triangle, then the three cylinders should be the same size.
No, we are not. The 60-60-60 has nothing to do with it. What it has to do with is the three plotted points. You find the center point of that triangle, and you put a dot, and then you draw three circles where all three circles intersect at one point, okay? Then that would tell you the size of each of those circles because they would be different sizes.
They intersect at the dot? Do they touch the dot?
They intersect and touch the dot, yes.
So they go around, they're around your three arcs touching the dot.
Three whole circles, yeah.
Yeah, but the arc part is sort of close to the of each circle.
Well, that's why we said do it in degrees.
And they don't overlap. They don't overlap. They just
touch.
They
would overlap, yes, they would. They'd have to. If they intersect at one point, they would absolutely overlap.
This is like the chart in the middle of Finning's Wake, but he only worked with two circles. I'll have to check that, two or three. The Pisces Visa, the Visa Pisces,
yeah,
diagram. Is that three circles, Ion, the Visa Pisces?
It should
or is
be.
Or two circles? Yeah. Yeah. But that's a different. We're doing three circles, not like that. Correct, Ion?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, so when I find the center, I have to find the center of the triangle. That's the first step, Ion?
Yes. Now, wouldn't that give it a rhombic flair?
I don't see how that'd be rhombic.
Well, keep doing it then.
If I put a center point in the middle of a triangle, just the center point doesn't give me a rhombus.
Then you draw a line from that center to A, and you draw a dot, a line from that center to B, and you draw a line from that center to C.
Okay.
And it would take on that appearance.
You would use a ruler to find that middle point, Jed? Like, how do you find the middle point of an equilateral triangle? Just proximate, or you just...
No, proximate will get you horseshoes and...
I know, so do you use a ruler, or is there some geometric pattern you use?
It's not the point of equilateral. Rarely would you plot equilateral in this formation.
So you find it in the center of the triangle.
Yes.
Ion, describe the operation to find the center of the triangle accurately.
Well, just like you would take any triangle and do it and take half of the triangle, the line segment AB, and half of the line segment BC, and half of the line segment AC, and then you would do you'd make smaller triangles of where they are exactly in the middle.
Okay, so the first three lines, when I take half of A to B, half of B to C, and half of C to A, those will give me lines going from the center of those lines into the center, but then I have to split those in half to find the ones that go out to the corners, correct?
Correct. And then that full calculation will give you the actual center of that triangle, regardless of its actual shape.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw that when I was going through some Pythagorean stuff.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Or
so it's
Archimedes.
So it's not the first time you've seen this. Good.
Right, but I don't see the cylinders in this.
Okay, we'll help you with that. Okay. You got a flat piece of paper, right?
Yeah.
You got three dots on a flat piece of paper, right?
Three dots on a flat piece of paper. Got them.
And if you hook those together, you'd make a triangle, whatever shape.
Right.
You got three toilet paper rollers.
Mm-hmm.
You center the toilet paper roller as a smokestack standing up on the three dots.
You mean one cylinder on each dot?
Well, yeah, we do. So you'd have three smokestacks. If those smokestacks crossed at a single point, then that would be the size of the degreed circle that you would use for your frequency or period, as you'd call it.
Okay, but you're saying each one of those three cylinders will be a different size because the angles are different.
Well, because the distance from where they would intersect based on your triangle would be a different length. So it would have that radius of the circle would be different lengths.
Right, so three different...
size circles.
Three different size circles.
So if you take, now you've figured that out, good. Now you take that same toilet paper roller that's standing up on A, and you lay it on its side, and whatever size toilet paper roller that you gauged and calculated, that's what your sine and cosine wave would go through. So that would set your larger and smaller peak and trough.
Okay, so yeah, the peak and trough would be contained in the height of the tube.
Correct, and the size tube is predicated on where it is in the center of your triangle.
So it seems, though, that I'm arbitrarily making these smokestacks on top of the points. Like,
you most absolutely are not. You are absolutely getting exactly the center of that triangle, and you are actually being very precise of the size circle that it is.
Okay, when I'm doing my first smokestack, do I start...
You can't do your first smokestack until you get the center of your triangle.
Okay, so I've got the center of my triangle.
Yeah.
Now I want to do my first smokestack for A.
Okay. May okay, get you a compass. And from put your dot, put the sharp middle point of the compass on A. Move your compass out to the dot in the middle of the triangle and draw a circle. That's the size of the circle of A. Do the same thing for B. Do the same thing for C. And when you do that, if all those intersection points are exactly in the middle, or they intersect each circle exactly on that dot, then you know you're in the middle. And what you're doing is you're setting the size of the circle.
Right. It should, when I do the three compass spins, it should touch, all three of them should touch in the middle of the triangle.
They should,
Yeah.
regardless of the size of the shape of the triangle.
Okay.
But you just have different size circles.
Mm
And that'll give you a different peak and trough.
Yeah. Would it affect the period as well for each of A, B,
It
and C?
certainly would, because when you have your degree that you're pulling your sine cosine from, it certainly would, because the different cylinder would have a different radius. Now, we said do it in degrees, and we still say do it in degrees. But once you figure out, get a visual on the degree, then radians won't be a problem.
Okay.
But you see why we say do it that way? Because then you can test yourself, basically. You can check your work. You'll know if it's aberrated, you see.
Right.
But
So
until you get that, if you just plug it in the Lucky Box, you might as well take on horseshoes or hand grenades.
okay. So would the cycle, would one wave cycle for A, would the cycle complete going out the radius of the smokestack for A?
Well, doesn't have to complete. It just has to complete between the two tangents.
But it can complete several times between the two tangents,
Of
depending
course,
on degrees.
predicated on how you do your charting. So, yeah.
And on how I set my x-axis. So,
Well, wait a minute now. You set your x-axis based on. You set your x-axis based on the minus sine cosine of C. Well, that's then you've got a circle, and you would run that minus sine cosine based on that circle. So that tells you then where to plot your A2 value.
no, I mean my initial, I mean the units on my original x-axis. So 1 square would be 1 pi radians, 2 square, the second square would
Yes.
be 2 pi radians, third square
Yes.
would be three
And
pi
you do
radians.
the same thing for A going over to your first tangent, your B1A1 tangent too.
On the imaginary top of the box
Yes.
line?
Top of the
Yeah.
box line and on the bottom. Yes, very good.
So for A's imaginary top of the box line, 1 box is 1 pi radian, 2 box is 2 pi radians, etc. And then would that line up with the ones for B's imaginary bottom of the
Nope,
box? No?
not
Oh.
necessarily.
So they're a
You
different
gotta,
scale.
there can be, because see, you can have any shape of triangle. So you could have B as a negative value, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So therefore, you see, it would be in a whole different quadrant and would affect how you'd plot that. Not incalculably. You can calculate it, but just don't leave anything to rote.
No.
See? Make sure you
So
check every level.
if I've set A's top of the box to be ticked out at 1 pi radian, 2 pi radian, 3 pi radian, then How do I decide how it's going to be ticked out for B's imaginary bottom of the box scale?
Same way. Based on the size of the circle of B, you engage it the same way. You'd calculate it. You'd process it on that size circle or tube.
So that circle, from the center of the circle to the outside of the circle, how many pi radians would that be?
It would be as many pi radians as it took you to get to the second tangent.
But you said that A's scale and B's scale might not be lined up.
That's correct. It may not.
Okay, but in cases where B is positive, are they going to be lined up, A and B's scale?
They should. But Nisa, you still got to calculate that on the size of your cylinder. You're setting that one block is one pi radian. Okay, but if you have a circle, that's going to set your period. So you can go at it one pi radian; it'll be just fine. But you got to realize from the size of your radius, your sine and cosine wave, that would cross. It should cross. At once lined up with A, but you need to value and work that out to make sure.
Okay.
Treat A and B and C as their independent functions. And if, and you're right, more times than not, they would line up. But don't use that as a rule or it will bite you in the butt.
Okay. But I really want to know the process here for the for ticking out the different
okay, Chad, Google.
Lines on the period.
Good. Here's how you do that. You Google how to plot a sine and cosine wave on the known size of a circle. And you follow what they tell you to do, and that's how you do that.
On the known size of a circle, well,
different size circle would have a different height, peak and trough.
Right.
Well, the
and
peak
we...
and trough would affect the intersection points. Well, the intersection points are what you're counting. And the size of the peak and the trough would also affect the number of times the intersection points were inside or outside the triangle.
Right, but the, you know, the peak and the trough of one cycle of the sine wave for A, is that going to be somehow related to the diameter or the radius of the circle?
Well, of course, Chad. That'll tell you how high and low the peak and trough is.
Right. It tells me how high and low, but in terms of going horizontally with the frequency,
that's that sets the period of your how often you're repeating.
Okay, so the radius of the circle would be what, one full cycle?
It should, yes.
Oh, good, okay.
It should. But you calculate it every time because we don't want to set you in a position, we don't want to tell you wrong, that's what we're trying to say. And the reason we're saying this is you do each function independent because the reason that this is even interesting is because for the very first time you're taking flat plane geometry and plotting a 3D wavelength in representation on a flat plane as your triangle.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the process. So to individually do each portion of that and watch your ratios, we say, now you see why having decimal points would be kind of to your peril, because that would affect how you, if you're guessing, you know, you got a value of A of 10.634829. Wonderful. Well, you start plotting that, you're going to go up 10, and then you're just going to guess that difference.
Mm-hmm.
No, we'd say move the decimals out and make it big, and you go, well, that's too many blocks, Ion. we could say, well, each block could equal 100 ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Make it so that it falls on whole numbers so that you can accurately get it on an intersection point so there's no guesstimation with your triangle, because as you well know, that's what you're going to use to get your size of your circles that are going to set your peaks and troughs and within one cycle from 1 pi r.
Okay, so you said the decimal, not to use decimals when I'm calculating.
Well, unless you can
circle?
Accurately plot an obscure decimal on a piece of graph paper.
Okay. Still not 100% sure on the on how to calculate the period of the sine wave according to this circle that you've introduced. Like, is one up
been, okay.
One whole cycle? So if I start in the center of A's circle, once the circle is created, would one full cycle up and down of the sine wave end at the outside of the circle, like the line of the circle itself?
Well, maybe, but when you pull the sine, you won't know that until you pull your sine wave.
Okay, so it just can, but I mean, seems like I'm just arbitrarily putting, you know, 1 pi, 2 pi, 3 pi radians.
That's just how you're calculating. You'll calculate that out. You may calculate it out, and it's 2 pi, 4 pi, 6 pi. You'll do your calculation on that.
Well, from what I understood, I was just putting, like, 1 pi, 2 pi, 3 pi down on the line. Like, so I was setting the grid.
More times than not, that'll be absolutely the way to do that and appropriate. But we're saying make sure that you're plotting that wavelength to your standard.
To my standard?
To normal trigonometric function. We're not here to teach you trigonometry.
Right, but I want to know what you're, like, I want to know the approach that you're explaining. There's explanations on how to plot sine waves, I know that.
Well, that's all you need to do. Just get one of those that works, and that'll work every time.
Yeah, but I want to know how to set the units of the boxes on my graph paper, like what the values of the boxes should be. And I've heard Yeah.
They can vary depending on if you have a 120 degree angle for A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How would you set your radians? Why would you gauge that? If you didn't have a triangle and if you just were plotting the wave, how would you do that?
I would, if I was only plotting a 120 degree sine wave, I would set
That's
my
all
box.
You're doing.
Okay, but I would set my boxes to be, 60 degrees for one box, 120 for two boxes, so that I would get the peak, and then at 60 it goes down to the trough, and then completes at 120 degrees.
Then that's all you're doing here. You're right. Right, spot on.
So you're saying because I'm just arbitrarily choosing the scale of my grid, that's okay?
Sure, as long as you do the same arbitration through each aspect.
So then that would mean that the same arbitration, meaning in this case 1 pi radian, 2 pi radian, 3 pi radian,
Okay. Now be careful. We're saying do whatever you use to calculate the way you calculate for A, then you use that same type of work to calculate B.
Well, we're not talking about work here. We're just talking about me deciding what one square on the graph paper is going to be. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, and if you watch your proportion, it'll work. But you must make sure that all your proportions are the same. You can't move the decimal on A unless you move the decimal on B and C equally.
Okay, so if.
That's just ratio and proportion, though, see.
Okay, so if A was 60-degree angle and B was 120-degree angle, would one box on the graph paper for A, let's say that represented 30 degrees on A's line, for B's line, would I double that because proportionately it's double?
Very
So I'm.
good. That's correct.
So my gradients, my ticks on my ruler that I'm making
Would shift.
would be double what they were for A because I'm working
Very
with.
good.
Okay.
See, that way you're consistent. It makes no difference what it is as long as you're consistent. That's right.
Good. And then I would reflect the same proportionality when I go down and do C as well.
Your minus sine, minus cosine, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. I see. Okay, and when I run my negative sine, negative cosine, that those waves start at the C point, right? They don't start at the B1A1 and go backwards.
Wait, no. No, wait, be clear. Say that again now.
Okay. As to where the wave will start running for this negative sine of
Okay.
C,
It
and
starts.
runs, and I know it runs backwards, and I
Yes,
just
but
want to
it
notice.
begins the minus sign, okay, starts on the dot of C.
Thank you. Perfect.
The minus cosine would be plus one, would be to the
Yes.
right, one point in start. You got
Mm-hmm.
that?
Got it.
Yes. Do the same way. Very good.
Okay. So got that. Oh yeah, Bob and I were talking last night about how velocity versus speed comes into play in these this converting 2D to 3D circular motion in these diagrams. And I wanted to know your explanation of the difference between velocity and speed.
Okay, speed is feet per second per second. Okay, velocity is the force that a speed is gauged by.
Okay, what would
See
be
there, that's the pressure, the force. There's some kind of pressure pushing the wheel.
Oh, that's right, the kick we were
Yeah.
talking about. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Very good.
Okay.
See, talking with Bob isn't always a nebulous, non-fruitful exchange, is it?
No, occasionally, rarely, we get somewhere.
Rarely. No,
Rarely.
no, no, no. You never get there right then, but later you have a
Yeah,
good
yeah, yeah.
possibility.
You
That's
wake
right.
up at 4 in the morning after you woke up at
Four
three
in
in
the
the
morning,
morning.
Hawaii time. That's when Bob's going to bed.
Yeah. Okay.
But if
All right.
that's the case, at 4 in the morning, you could just call Bob. He'd still be up. You can just ask Bob. You won't even have to think about it. You can call Bob and ask him. That's pre-dish time. He'll just answer.
Pre-dish time. Yeah.
Pre-washing dishes.
Okay, I get it. All right, so I start by doing my triangle and finding the center of the triangle. And then once I have the center of my triangle, I do my compass with the point on the center of A and the pencil part where the center of the triangle is, and I make a circle around A. And then I do the same thing for B, and I do the same thing for C.
And that'll
And
give you the sizes of those circles. And the only reason you're doing that, Chad, the only reason you're doing that is so you can set your period or frequency or peak and trough of your sine cosine wave of your angle of A.
right. And I had a hard time because on the, math sites and all Wikipedia and everything, they say that there's no connection between amplitude and frequency, that they're two separate things. So it was kind of
Well,
pointless, fruitless.
but different people, different things say different things are. So we included both. So both would apply, or either would apply.
Mm-hmm. Is there any significance to the way that a pendulum works in regard to these sine waves?
Nope, not at all whatsoever. That's okay. Where that would apply, to sound coming out of a pipe organ. That's where that would apply.
What, the pendulum?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you see, where you get tangled up, not you personally, because you're actually doing very well, but where the average bear gets tangled up, they try to compare this geometry, trigonometric function, and they try to say, okay, water comes out of a water hose a certain way. Okay, sound comes out of a pipe organ a certain way. Well, they tangle it up, and they try to make the pipe organ work like the water hose and or vice versa. And they work very independently different, as well you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you keep those separated, no problem.
But wait a minute. Wouldn't the water hose be like amplitude, the way you crank up the volume?
Yes. Yes.
And then the pipe organ would be more like frequency?
Correct, because it bounces and it's all over the place, you see. And every time it hits a hard surface, it creates a new frequency.
Right.
And some might say amplitude later, but that's the difference between your speed and velocity.
Okay. All right. So far with the triangulation, Ion, is there anything that I've been overcomplicating in the process that's holding me?
Most of it.
Really?
Well, you're thinking. Quit thinking. Just do the visual. And once you get the visual, you'll figure out a formula, plug it in your damn lucky box number one, and it'll do it for you every time. But until you know what it's doing, you won't have any way to know that what the lucky box is calculating is correct. Unless you do it by hitting the mark, hitting the mark, hitting the mark. And if you do that with past experience, you can perfect your science, if that's what you want to call it. Do you see? But beyond that, soften up on all this bill of particular detail. Do each particular function independent of itself, mind being mindful of your ratio, then your A2 will come out within a thousandth of a penny every time.
Right. When you say be mindful of my ratio, point out to, you know, the item that you're referring to.
All of it. If you move decimal points, move it on everything.
Okay.
When you're plotting your original points, make sure they're exact. Make sure they're on a point. Because if you have, let's say you had 10.5, well, you might be able to gauge 0.5 pretty close. Okay? But this 0.1836772, bullshit. You can't gauge that precisely. And now you know that those points of the triangle have everything to do with where the center of the triangle is and the size of your circle, which will set your peaks and troughs of your sine, cosine waves all together. So each part is very precise. So make sure that if you change your ratios, you do it to everything.
Okay, so now you're encouraging me not to use values that have decimals in them or to move the decimal out to get whole numbers.
Right, which means your ratio is going to become large. But that's okay, because you could very easily make each, say you have 10,000, C is plotted on block 10,000. That's okay, because you could make each block be 1,000
mm-hmm.
values, you see. As long as you do that with every different aspect of it, that's fine, you see.
Okay, so if I move my decimal over four places to the right,
yep,
for all three of my values, A, B, and C's value.
Yep.
So I just want to know the places to be mindful of that shift. So is that going to affect...
No, what we mean is, is, let's say you're moving your decimals over and you move it four places on A, four places on C, but B actually has five decimal places. So you would just move it on over five. Well, if you move B over five, you've also got to move A over five and C over five, which would add a zero to your value.
Okay.
So don't ever mix. We're telling you to do everything individually. But what you do individually, as far as perspective and ratio, do it to everything. That's what we're telling you to be very careful with, because it'll throw you easily.
Right.
And you won't notice it.
So if I move my decimal place over four, or point over four places for A, B, and C, is that going to affect the plotting of my boxes, like what each box is worth? Am I going to have to multiply that by,
You don't have to, but you could find yourself making a very, very, very large piece of graph paper.
Okay.
Well, if you move the decimal four places, now C is plotted on block 10,940. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, but sometimes it's easier to do that and then add your value of your box is easy. But on your computer, you can get your ratio out there far enough.
Yeah. But
it's not a problem, but we're just saying whatever you do, make sure you do it all the way across the board. That's all.
But you mean also through the whole process? Not
absolutely.
Just, yeah.
Absolutely, because see, this is that's what you're doing, is you're marrying geometry, flat 2D, with trigonometry, which is vibration.
Right. So if I move my decimal places points four places to the right for all three, A, B, and C, then when I go into doing my intersections within the triangle and getting the values, will I have to adjust those values because of my decimal shift, or will they be fine because I know what each
box... They'll be fine because your perspective and ratio is done the same. You see,
okay.
You may find that you have many more intersecting points if you've got 10,000 blocks, okay? That's no problem because, remember, you're dividing by the number that would fall inside the triangle. So it's a little more ciphering, but it'll be the same.
Okay. And then when I get my A value and divide that by my B value, those ratios will be fine.
Yep.
However, that could affect the division of the Maybank value.
Not necessarily. You'll find that they'll normally bring them back into check. Because you remember you're dividing your A over B.
Mm-hmm.
If your A is higher than the B, remember?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if it is, then if you got a great big number divided by a great big number, no problem.
Yep. And then, okay, so yeah, that'll bring it back. That'll bring the ratio
back to the same perspective,
back
which is
same,
what we're
right.
talking about.
Okay.
But if you start dicking around and not being precise on your ratios, then you're going to have 10 million divided by 2.
Yep.
You see how that could go terribly awry quickly.
Mm-hmm. And then when I divide it by my Maybank value, if I go on Maybank's site and it says the value is 3.00, am I dividing by 3.00 or by 0.03 for 3%?
Well, is the 3% a yearly rate or a daily rate or which rate?
That's for that'd be for a weekly.
Well, guess what?
Hmm.
Maybank's not paying 3% a week.
Okay, so
otherwise the world economy would be banking at Maybank.
No, so when someone puts it in for a week, they get that rate annually, but I know that.
But we're talking about daily rate. We're not talking about an annual rate, remember?
Okay, so I'm going to have to calculate the daily rate.
Of course.
What's
and how the easiest way to do that is to get a 30-day CD and
mm-hmm.
divide it.
So if the 30-day CD is 3%,
well, it won't be 3%. That's a yearly rate. A 30-day rate would probably be like something like 0.25 or 0.50 or 0.45 or something.
Okay, yeah, the page that I'm looking at is showing me like pretty close to 3 for every denomination of
those
time.
Those are all based on yearly APRs.
So then I'd have to divide it by 365 or by 12 to get a monthly rate.
Either way, either yeah. way. And what do is, if you find you're off by a tiny bit, then relook at that calculation. Well, hell, there's nothing wrong with getting on the damn telephone and calling somebody and say, hey, Margie, what's your, I got a little money. How much are you paying on a 10-day CD? And she'll say, oh, hang on, number one, that rate for you today would be blah.
Okay. And then when I get that rate,
that's what you divide into or divide by, depending on the outcome of your A over B.
Right, but if she told me it was a 0.5%, would I be dividing by 0.5 or dividing by 0.005? You know, like
no, if it's 5%.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 5%, that's 0.05.
Good, okay.
And remember now, that's not a negative, that's still positive. Because you remember sometimes you divide B over A. And if it's a negative number, just remember that 0.05 is still a positive number.
Yes.
And we're making a big deal about that because it won't be long until you'll have to pay money to bank. You can have a negative percent. They're doing that right now on some of the bonds. You pay them money to keep your money.
Okay.
So that will come up as you but so that so we don't we're being clear. So when it comes up you can say, God damn Ion, you didn't say nothing about that then. Well, we're gonna say, oh yes we did, number one. And you go, oh yeah, there was something about that. It didn't matter then, but it does now.
Yeah, okay. So I just want to go back again to one more of the basic things.
Certainly.
And that is right in the beginning when I have when I plot my point for C, let's say that comes out to be at 8.
Okay.
So I can just say that represents 8 days, right? Or 8 months. Is that arbitrary?
That is arbitrary. That is okay. Arbitrary. But now wait a second. The only reason you're gauging, you really wouldn't, okay? But if you do that, you wouldn't pull your second tangent at 8 days. But you certainly could make it 8 hours. Wouldn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
The time between that you're considering between your two tangents, we just say pick it in such a way you can place your second tangent anywhere you want to as long as you're creating another triangle. And what increment you put to those blocks makes no difference. Because, see, we're talking about vibration, which if it's vibration, then it doesn't matter. It's the same. Eight minutes, 8 weeks, 8 years, eight millennia.
So if I get an A2 value and it says the price is going to be $4, and my B1A1 tangent is on 5, so that would say 5 days from now it's going to be that price, and 5 hours from now it's going to be that price, and 5 years.
No. You have to set it. You have to set it at what your how much time you're adding to each one. And if you set it a different way, even though it looks the same, you'll get a different answer more times than not.
Really? Just by changing it from days to months, you'll get a different answer?
That's just the way frequency is.
Now, do I have to write down month or day in order to have that effect?
No, but you need to know in advance before you start your triangulation.
Okay.
And here's the example. Your cell phone, the fractal in your cell phone that does triangulation. you're trying, it knows exactly where you are, and it tells you how to get to the coffee house, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you take two steps to the left, and you run that same calculation. It'll still get you to the coffee house, but it may add an extra turn or add an extra pitch or even take you a different direction.
Right.
But it's that shifting point of where you are. Because that's how this works, you see.
I see. And doing this process of finding the center of the triangle, I'll have to do that for my small triangle when I move to the next tangent, right? With the circles.
You will. That is exactly correct. Now look here what you've done. You've just now succinctly tightened your minus sine minus cosine of your value of x, haven't you?
I don't see how it's tightened.
Well, the center of the small triangle is going to be way closer to the C than it is the A and the B, is it not?
Oh, okay, yeah.
See, right. So that really does a shift. Okay, now let's go backward. Let's go backward. When you pull a B4A4 tangent, that would be to the left of your original AB tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Now you've vastly increased the size of C, circle.
Yes.
So it most certainly would have a broader effect on where your X, new X-axis would be plotted.
A broader effect on where the new X is plotted.
Yeah, because you're going to have a much more huge, you're going to have a huge, huge circle. Because that circle that you're drawing, you'll center the point when you pull a B4, A4. You still have a great, now you've made a great big triangle. Well, now your C is way further away. So your X is going to move dramatically.
But X is where the intersections of the negative sine and negative cosine are. Right.
What does that have to do with where you pull your third tangent from? You still have to find the center of the circle.
Yeah.
Center of the triangle.
If I pull my third tangent, I still have to find the center of the triangle and do the A circle and the B circle and the C circle because I have a big
triangle. And what we're saying is the C circle is going to become larger. So your X value has a larger propensity to move. Because your circle is, your peaks and troughs are higher.
Oh, yeah, okay.
See, that's what we're saying. So you get it, narrow it way down to pinpoint accuracy, or get it broad, so everything is covered. So as you get, all you got to do is get this one time, and then it's off to the races. Then you're going to play with it, and play with it, and play with it, and play with it, and make it your very own. It already is your very own. You've done a great job. But this knowing, then all of a sudden, gives you a, without tactility, a practical application of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You've taken the tack out of tactility.
Taking the tack on, or just the tack?
No, just tack.
As in speed?
Do.
Huh, okay. Because speed is
speed
based on time.
Speed is a relegation of... That's right. Speed is a relegation of time. Very good.
So then it's just tility.
That's right. And if you look up tiling, that's a very trigonometric form or geometric form, isn't it?
Yeah, like the way that the rhombic dodecahedron is tiled three-dimensionally.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. By God, you keep getting these erections and somebody's going to get pregnant, big boy.
Also, there was something you said before about the word till versus until. So,
yes.
Tility. Explain the difference between till and until.
Okay. You got to, if you're going to do that now, you get on your little box and look up till.
Mm-hmm.
Give a definition, just a regular Noah Webster would be all right. Or, oh, I think they don't use him. Maybe it's Merriam-Webster. You use a Webster's definitions of till, and it gives the definition, and then you go until, and it doesn't mean the same thing.
Okay.
To until would be to not plow.
Right, because you, yeah, okay. You couldn't until your crop, your field, you'd have to just not till it.
Exactly. So until says that it's a position that is not plowed.
Mm-hmm.
Or yet to be plowed. So until would be fallow.
Yeah.
But now, there are other working definitions of till that you can play with and have great fun with. But that applies also to the geometry of tilling.
Geometry of tiling?
Yes, tilling. We were playing with
tilling.
We were trying to make our bad metaphor work, number one.
Yeah, no, I got it. Okay, so this, I like this circle visual in the center of the triangle. That's great. It gives me lots to work
with.
Well,
it cleans up. It cleans up your issue. It cleans up your potential issue with your peak and trough frequency.
Yeah, and it makes it more of a getting the visual, working with a visual rather than looking up formulas on the internet and
calculating. You never knew there was such a value for spent toilet paper rollers, huh?
Right.
And then, of course, don't forget now, when you lay the toilet paper roller on its side, you want to saw off the toilet paper roller to the exact length of your two, between your two tangents, because those are the only ones you're considering.
Well, yeah, that the roller on its side just gives me the top and the bottom, right?
That's right, but but see, here again, that's perspective. That's what you want to. That's what's key here, is perspective. Because nowhere in all of history have they tried to marry trigonometry and geometry to work with a false premise of the application of an outcome of time.
Mm-hmm. But really, putting the roll on its side is only going to tell me, you know, the ceiling and the floor. It's not going to tell me anything horizontally, is it?
No, but it will tell you how to plot your wave accurately.
Mm-hmm. In terms of how high and how low, but it won't tell me.
And that'll affect your intersection. But now, that'll affect your intersection points and where they intersect inside and outside of the triangle. And that is important.
Okay, it'll affect it because it's making the period longer.
Well, the bigger the circle, the more propensity you'd have to have multiple intersection points inside the triangle.
Okay, because if the circle's bigger, I'm going to have a higher peak.
Your troughs are going to be lower.
Troughs will be lower. But I don't see how that's going to set the number of repetitions horizontally.
Well, your intersection points you'll plot based on the peak and the trough.
Oh, and the intersections, okay.
Exactly. See, that's right. And so the bigger the peak and trough, the more intersection, the tighter your wavelength will be, so the more intersection points you'll have within the two tangents.
Yes. Okay, I see.
So, big number, small number, at the end of the day, it all works out. Mm-hmm. And if you accurately do the same thing to every aspect that you're doing, then your calculation of A to A2 based on a new x-axis will put you spot on the mark.
Okay. Are these the circles? So these three circles you've introduced to me, are they the circles that were on Hal Holbrook's table?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
And now, this sounds nebulous, but once you play with this just a little bit, it's just like anything, Chad. Once it's known, once you know it, it's no big deal. You'll be able to just about do this in your head.
Right, because when you introduce these visual aids like the circle in the center of the triangle, it becomes more of just a pure visual operation rather than me thinking about formulas. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the reason we said, when you were asking, well, Ion, what's the formula? And we were like, hell no. Because that formula, you go to a different looky box and all of a sudden it doesn't work. Or you use, we weren't, it's not our job to teach you how to choose and operate a scientific plotting calculator. I mean, because everyone you do is different.
Yeah. So this working it out on paper is the best way to
If
go.
you, well, until you get it working the way you know it works, you see, because with your looky box, the way you know how to do it, because you do that in your sleep, when you think in damn code, see, I mean, you think about things that way. Well, once you get the visual, then you'll know if the code applies and works. And if it does, then that's the one you use over and over and over and over and over again, and you'll be fine.
Right, but you were saying it might work different on one computer than it does on another computer, the same
Well,
code.
that's right. Exactly right. And you can get a different scientific calculator that does it a different way. And all of a sudden, you have a radical shift in differential.
Is that because they go down a different number of decimal points?
They necessarily, and they sometimes operate differently. Some you can't shift to radians, and some you can't do in degrees, and some up and down and over and under, and you know how that goes.
Hey Jed, this is the LaRouche quadrant. He gets you going back, learning the original stages of discovery.
Yeah.
So you know, education. I think it's called hermeneutic, or yeah, hermeneutic, where
Hermeneutics.
you learn, or hedeutic, some where you learn the stages. You relearn
Yeah.
how it was
Isn't
done.
that the one from L. Ron Hubbard?
No, 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 no. You're getting silly. No.
Dianetics, that's how
Yeah,
the
yeah,
numbers
yeah.
gonna turn out.
Hermeneutic. There's hermeneutics, and there's a generic term. I think I will Google
That was
to
a
see if I can
Herman
find it.
Talmadge.
Yeah. Hermeneutic. Hermeneutic.
You're right, Bob. It's not hermeneutics. It's hermeneutics.
Hermeneutics is a plural, but there's a term which means learning the basics. There are stages.
Oh, you
Is it
mean the
hermeneutics?
three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
No. Hermaphroditic. Hermaphroditic, I think it is.
Oh, you mean autocratic? Yeah, that's in the
Yeah.
LaRouche quadrant too.
Hermeneutic. You guys
Good
laughing
one.
at me?
Ion's
You're laughing at
having
me.
great fun. Bobby, you got to go to bed in another day or two. It's weekend,
Yeah,
but you got to
yeah.
go to bed in a day or two. He's been on the
I
chains today. He's been
got
on
to
the
start
chains
turn back.
today.
I've got to turn back. Head
Yeah,
back to the bed. Think about 2 days.
he's been on the chains running JW, keeping him busy since his 4 in the morning
Wednesday.
this morning, and he started and it's been all the way through daylight, dark, and then having great fun. So he's been having to stay up to keep JW busy today.
Yeah, hermeneutic, unfolding the signification of or pertaining to interpretation, exegetical, explanatory, as hermeneutic theology or the art of expounding the scriptures. So,
Oh, yeah, you mean like Herman Cain.
yeah. So, here's a Here's a definition of ion.
I don't know. Damn
Here's
it,
a definition of ion.
Okay.
What I call ion is the feeling for syllable and rhythm penetrating far below the conscious levels of thought and feeling, invigorating every word, sinking to the most primitive and forgotten, returning to the origin and bringing something back, seeking the beginning and the end.
Well, we
ion works
the raising of, not the
Listen,
origin.
Shut up. Ion works through meaning, certainly, or not without meanings in the ordinary sense, and fuses the old and obliterated, and the trite, the current, and the new and surprising, the most ancient and the most civilized mentality. Isn't that an awesome definition?
Yeah, where's that from?
Me. It's my work.
Nice.
Tripe is delicious, though. You should try it.
Tripe.
No, this is trite, T-R-I-T-E. What I call ion is the feeling for syllable and rhythm, penetrating far below the conscious levels of thought and feeling, invigorating every word, sinking to the most primitive and forgotten, returning to the origin and bringing something back, seeking the beginning and the end. Ion works through meaning, certainly, or not without meanings in the ordinary sense, and fuses the old and obliterated, and the trite, the current, and the new, and surprising, the most ancient and the most civilized mentality.
Yeah.
Isn't that it? That's ion, right? Yeah, wouldn't you say?
Bob, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Chad, we know this is not an original thought by Bob because he was able to repeat it.
What do you mean? I wrote it out. I have it written out. I'm just reading what I wrote.
Well, how do you know the one that wrote the reading right, Bob?
Because I wrote it. Ah. If I wrote it, then I know I read it right.
Yeah,
but then you said it twice, so... I guess
three times,
and then there's no place like home, huh?
The third time will be on Wednesday on cash flow.
Oh, law.
I will stun the masses with this definition of ion.
So
old Keen
will
be quoting it. Yes, using the old and the obliterated and the trite and the current, Joyce.
But MJ said my dynamic met my potential.
Brian, it's the most ancient and the most civilized mentality. You got that, Brian? Says Tina. This is actually what we should have this quote at the beginning of the series of Angela, as Angela goes for fabricated origins in her last two sessions.
Right.
Well, she's hitting home runs tonight. It was great fun.
Oh, good.
Yep, she found out Bob's name way back in Samaria or someplace.
And it wasn't Santa Claus?
No, it was Rai.
No, we Santa Claus.
Turns out Worcester was wrong. It wasn't Doobie that was Rai, it was me.
Yeah.
Well, Doobie can't be Doobie. Doobie's damn dead.
Yeah, that's right.
Rai be in the ground.
Yeah, Rai would not be dead.
Well, if he's dead, what the fuck good is he?
That's right. So, Chad, is there anything else you want to do?
Who would piss off Issy?
Well, I just wanted to check the. I'm using the ATAN function of the opposite over the adjacent to find my angle. Ion, is there?
You're right, justifying your triangles, obviously.
Yeah, that's on a right justified triangle.
Good.
So is that formula fine?
Yes, but we just wanted to be clear because some people try that and they forget. Oh fuck yeah, it wasn't a right triangle when I started right. You can use that formula, you can write justified, but then you have to subtract the amount that you write justified by when you do it for B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to know if A tan opposite over adjacent is fine.
Yes, but we have to be clear so you don't get cross with something else.
Okay. Or was there a simpler, non-formulaic way to find an angle?
Don't worry about that just yet, because get this part right and then you can get fancy.
Well, actually, I was thinking of getting unfancy.
No, that's not unfancy. That's being correct.
Okay.
But once it becomes rote, Once you learn the notes, then you can start playing by ear.
Okay. Good. All right. Yeah, I don't have any more questions about this. I got the amplitude issue solved.
Yay!
All I can do
so
now is
what
go
you
off
want.
And try it. I don't know. I don't have any wantings. Everything's fine.
That's getting. That's otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything I should pay attention to about the effects of the RNA drops on my body, Ion?
Well, describe what you're noticing.
My skin is a lot smoother. My hair is smoother and, like, darker and shinier. I'm definitely sleeping less and feeling more rested and awake. Calmer.
Your butt's higher.
My butt's higher? Well, I haven't checked that out lately. But
yeah. When you get in the mirror, look, and you'll notice you go, holy crap, my butt's higher.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, though. Some days I'm towering over Angela, and other days we're almost the same height. Strange.
Well, okay, but that's because of her perspective. You're not changing. It's her perspective.
Okay.
But that's right. But now, okay, here's how you can tell. If you're laying, she lays a certain way in bed more times than not. And you, of course, are all over the place. But once you get still, you're normally there. But notice your perspective of where you are from laying down, and that'll clean it up if you're noticing a big shift.
Okay.
Because it can change. Okay, earwax, more or less same?
More. My ears definitely have more, yeah.
Good. That's a good. That's good.
That's good, because, yeah.
Oh, it's fabulous, because what that's doing is, see, the wax is like, it's almost like a sealer protector kind of a thing for the eardrum and the discussion tube.
Mm-hmm.
We always have fun using words slightly incorrectly. It's so much fun. It's great. Makes Carolyn crazy, but it's way fun. That extra wax, it'll finally, it works itself out, but that's that protection buildup of your cellular change. It's a good little indication that you're making progress.
Okay, and so should I avoid, like, ear candling to remove wax? Just leave it?
You know, please yourself. Some people like it. Some people like that ear candling stuff because you can pull all kinds of shit out of your ear. But that's not the best thing to get wax out. That's like if you got, like, chunks of wood and crap in your ear. Just regular Q-tips, like when you clean your ears.
Yeah.
That'll do that. That'll do that very painlessly. And like, JW now has to do it, his one Q-tip in each ear every day, which seems a little extreme. But for him, it's like, wow. So it would, you would notice that, and that's positive.
Right. And I'm going to move up from one bottle a month to, you know, approaching two bottles. I was wondering, should I double my Realign?
No. You'll be fine on your Realign, but what you'll want very, very, very soon, you'll be ready to add Relight.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help your electrolyte balance.
Okay.
So your energy flow, it'll stabilize it a little easier for you.
Okay.
The hydration side will rock your world.
Good.
Because the hydration is going to change how your body's responding to your new cells.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you'll turn them lipids on finally, and by God, then we'll have some fun.
All right, good.
So here's a question, Chad. I'm taking 100 drops a day. We know one drop is all you require to get the change, and then we take the other drops to bounce off the change that the one drop causes. What advantage or disadvantage or uselessness or usefulness is there to taking something like 100 drops a day, Ion?
Okay. No disadvantage or necessary advantage. It's like most people don't eat a gallon of ice cream at a sitting like you, Bob.
Right.
Okay. But if you do, to ask you that question, Bob, is there a benefit for you eating a half a gallon of ice cream or a gallon of ice cream at what said? And you'd say, well, no, but I couldn't imagine having one bite less than that.
Right. It's like I'm going for the longest cum I can have. And so if I'm going to eat ice cream, I'll fucking eat it for 2 days. Or no, let's say half an hour because it's a pleasurable experience. So I'll extend it out.
Same
coming. Yeah, I like putting 100 drops, 50 drops in it. I like the taste.
And that outcome then benefits you because it's the fastest path to your joy. Now, it's not necessarily per se required, but at the same time, you have cells that are replicating at a faster pace. So it's no wonder that you would crave more. And here's the example.
Oh, wait a minute. So they're replicating faster because of the initial drop I took?
Of course.
Okay, so because I took the drop.
Same way. Now, wait a minute now. You're okay. But now let's say you were training for a triathlon and you were burning 20,000 calories an afternoon in training. Your body would respond by having a heightened sense of hunger. You would desire more food. I can't imagine you eating any more food than you're already eating. But if you were burning that up, your body would say, up, feed me more, up, feed me more, up, feed me more.
So it's the more.
And you would.
It's a, you know, happy where I am, what's the phrase? Happy where I am and ready for more.
And ready for more. Perfectly happy where I am and ready for more. But now, here's what you didn't ask that you wished you asked, that you thought you'd ask, but you didn't ask, but you're fixing to ask because we're going to tell you to ask. Hey, Ion, by taking 100 drops of RNA a day, is there any effect on my metabolism? And we go, oh, yeah. What's metabolism? The rate and function that your body metabolizes food and or calories and or sugars.
So far it's leaning 51 to 49 to take more.
Oh, absolutely. But we said that all along. But we don't want to make it be
big deal. I can go to one or miss a day. So the main principle is enjoying it. Take 2,000 a day or something if I just like piling the most.
But we don't want to alienate a Joyce because she's not taking 100 drops.
I know. Yeah. I was just joking. I announced it so that people would compete with me, and then they'd buy more bottles to keep up with Bob, and we'd make more money.
You got to hurry up, though. You got to hurry up, though, because Brian don't measure anymore. He's just drinking it out of the bottle like a fifth of gin.
He's trying to keep up with Bob?
No, he was doing that already anyway. He's already on it now, wanting to order pint-sized bottles.
Okay, so there is the tendency to the natural human tendency to say, if I get more, I'll go to heaven faster, sooner. And that's not the case. But within the daily ratios of desire, if you want to have a lot, have a lot. Don't get all uptight about fucking thinking you're achieving something.
Then you'll quit.
But then you are achieving something.
Then you'll quit worrying about heaven, and then you'll start singing the song, Heaven's Just a Sin Away.
Yeah, okay, but so I'm taking more to as long as I perceive an increase in metabolism and things are changing, growing to 144,000, then it's good to help that along, but then don't make an idea out of it, a law. It doesn't matter. It's going to have with or without the amount of drops once you've taken the first drop.
Yes, but better than perceiving, you should start noticing the outcome.
Okay, so I don't notice, I went from 30, and wait, just 30 drops to 50 to 100 over a couple of weeks. I never noticed like what Bart gets, dizziness or bliss. Either I'm already at a pretty, he has just arrived at a normal level. His column is very good, and he's arrived at a normal level that he's never experienced before where he's not going up and down. That's his latest column, and I was talking to him about it. That's where I feel I've always been, sort of. And so this just I don't feel much other than I've been feeling it and I don't focus on it.
But he gauges his reality based on what he can write. And if he can't write about it, he doesn't include it in his reality. You include
okay.
it all in your reality.
And now I got him. He's going to pare back on that. Maybe his big change is to stop writing so much.
Well,
stop measuring
whatever.
It. Yeah, but okay, so
but,
I don't feel anything. See, what the fuck am I feeling?
You're feeling that you haven't been to bed and you still feel fine. That's what you're fucking
feeling.
Oh,
yeah,
feeling.
Okay. Yeah, now, okay, I call that, I feel a kind of stamina. Like, I can walk fast, even though I might think I'm tired from not sleeping, I still can walk strong. And I noticed that. Like, the body is strong regardless of my interpretations of what's going on.
Exactly, because you're having the effect and not noticing. That is effect preceding cause right there.
Right. So
I'm doing so fine, I don't notice how fine I'm finding.
Right. Even though
that's
I'm not... And it sounds like you're unconscious. You're not unconscious. You're just, it's not an issue of concern, but you're feeling good and you want to take more drops.
You got so unconscious that you got your ego pregnant.
Well, you know what happened to me on Thursday a week ago? I went in for my massage and I was already feeling really good. And I think I'd taken my drops before my massage because I wasn't going to be home till later. And during the massage, in the midst of being totally relaxed, I had this insatiable like appetite to order like, you know, a carton of RNA from Matthew, and I was gonna extremely increase my dose. I just had a voracious appetite for it instantly all of a sudden. And then I went to the movies with Angela after, and I went and ate, and I was like, I was eating everything in sight, like the shittiest foods, greasy hot dogs and slop.
What happened
was I powered them down, and then within half an hour I started sweating, and you know, I ended up getting what the symptoms of what would be like food poisoning for the next 24 hours. But it was just such an extreme flip because I was feeling so incredible. I was like, I just want to drink RNA.
And you wanted to translate it into more of the substance. And the mistake, sort of, was to put it into substance. Bart reported the same thing. He's feeling good, and then he had a coffee, and it brought him down. If you don't bring in the mind idea that you want to supplement the good feeling you get, then you enjoy the empty good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So get more poisons in your body, and you won't notice.
Right.
In other words, you're saying that his mind made him go think he got food poisoning.
Well, same way with people that do the druggy stuff. Okay, if you popped some Xanax, it'd probably knock you for a loop, Chad. But if you were accustomed to taking 100 Xanax a month and you popped some Xanax, you wouldn't even notice.
So he didn't get food poisoning. He just got overwhelmed, his percept of food
intake.
Well,
no, his body started. It increased his metabolism of digesting and moving all that stuff along. So it gave him the feeling place of some indigestion process that was like he'd gotten something that his body was repelling. Well, his body wasn't repelling. It was just doing it at a hyper rate.
So he laid there for 2 days while his body overworked overtime.
Well, yeah, it
overtiming.
Overheats and cools down. Well, mm-hmm. that's the symptoms of heat stroke too, isn't it?
Okay, so it's always, if you're taking a lot, it's no big deal. If you're taking a little, it's no big deal. It's the mind interpreting. So when I'm, like, I didn't sleep last night, Chad, so I'm measuring how I feel, and when I start feeling tired, I say, well, this is just my mind thinking I should be tired. Now, is that what's going on, Ion?
Well, it's your mind. You have a fleeting mind thought of, wow, I've been up for a day or two, and I should be just like dogged out, and I'm actually got my second wind, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, the mind starts trying to fit it back to what I know, to what I my rule.
To what you consider, yeah.
What you're accustomed to.
But it's my rule that, gee, I've been up so long, I'm bound to be tired, so I make myself feel tired, even though if I ignore it, I'm not tired. Yeah, I got the strength. I can walk fast or something. So this, I can keep going. I don't really ever have to sleep again, Ion, from this point on.
That's right.
Maybe nod off every now and then. But
you don't even have to do that, because when you're sitting around, you're resting anyway.
Right.
And
the
only reason you required sleep anyway was to disconnect from your mind.
Not to go to other worlds. We were talking with somebody about this last night. To disconnect from the labyrinth of work that the mind goes through.
That's right. And if you're constantly all day, every day, never minding, then your propensity for requiring sleep should become less and less and less.
Right. So I notice I might start to feel a slight headache or tired, and I immediately say, no, that's my mind thinking I should be tired. And the more I ignore that, I'll forget that I'm even awake or that I've been staying up for 5 days. Right? That's the thing.
It makes no difference. And people will then start about, your Katie-did circadian rhythm will get out of balance. And we go, well, it already is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I get this tired feeling sometimes around my eyes. The thing is, don't start interpreting it. Ignore it. It'll go away. You'll just forget about it, and then it's not there. Then it'll come back. You ignore it.
Right.
That's
so
the basic process.
If you're interpreting it, so if my eyelids start to feel heavy and I start interpreting that as it's time to go to sleep, is that like getting into vibrational proximity of ending up being knocked out sleeping?
Well,
it's just a rule. Don't need to put vibration products in. It's a rule of a familiar thing, what you know, and you want to fall back into it. Like this, it's what's actually pulling on me is the pleasure of sleeping.
Uh-huh.
It's a pleasure to go disconnect, right? So
do you find when you do sleep now, you're getting more out of it?
Yeah, well, I've been having good sleeps ever since I came to Maui, you know, so that's a given. Every sleep is great. Sometimes I wake up tired, but I know that I've been working hard in parallel worlds, you know, and so I'm just tired from having exertion. So I don't even think that I'm going to have a good sleep or not. It just is always just good. So what were we just saying?
Now Bob's good sleep is 4 hours, though. I mean, you know, and for a lot of humans.
Yeah. Like Carolyn has to get. See, Carolyn has to get her 6 hours, 6 or 7 hours for some reason. And she has to get to bed reasonably early. So she's got a lot of rules about time and how if she goes to bed late, she'll usually get a headache the next day. So, with the RNA drops, it's diminishing a bit. But it's pretty. She can't conceive of doing what I'm doing. It's just impossible at this point.
Yes, but she also does more by the time you get up in one day than you do in a week.
Yeah, you mean she's tired, you mean. She's getting, she requires sleep because she's done so much. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she is, absolutely, and she has to hurry because once you're up at 4, then her day stops and she's answering questions.
No, there's not that many questions, but my devilish vibration starts dragging her down. When I show up, then she's fucking all back down to the lower realms of the uninitiated. You know, there's just pollution just coming around the house. It's Bob. No. Those fucking sugar plantations are starting to put out their vog, known as Bob.
Don't fret, number one. When Bob decided he was never going to sleep again, he stayed up a week. After about the second day, they started looking for another house close by to move Bob to so Carolyn could have her more.
Carolyn had never had me around so much. It was fucking painful for her. Like, get this asshole out of here.
Like, who is send him back.
So I said, fuck it. I'll go back to sleep and hide out in the other world. Maybe she'll forget that I even exist. But she might be very busy in parallel worlding. Right?
As well.
Can you put time in? Yeah, you probably can't put time, but if you're sleeping longer, does that mean that you're working in 5 other parallel worlds and it seems you need more hours?
No, because you could do as much in 2 hours. You could do as much in a 15-minute cat nap, Bob, as you could travel being in
So she's got a rule,
Bob.
Right. So she's got a rule that she's done a lot of work. So she thinks she needs to have rest for it.
Well, it's not about rest. It's about a disconnect so it refreshes. It's almost like...
So, okay, so you're saying she needs to refresh a lot because she exerted herself a lot.
Okay, and it's like a computer that's working all the time. Sometimes you have to reboot it a little more often than if you just do it three or four entries a day.
Right.
Or does she maybe have a lot of mind work
right.
in her business?
It does.
Yeah, okay, so what are you saying? She requires to disconnect from the mind. Okay, she has to disconnect from all the work. Whereas Bob doesn't do fucking any work and requires, 5 minutes disconnect because he didn't do anything when he was here. Something like that?
She didn't mind anything.
I didn't mind anything.
And anything he did mind, he asked Carolyn.
Yeah, I fake working. I fake contribution and chipping in.
Oh, and it's fun. It's fun, though. You should be a fly on the wall, number one. Now and again, Bob will get one of these tears, and then he'll start directing work traffic and questioning this getting done and working at this time.
You fuckers aren't getting anything done.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's coming off his back if the shit don't get done.
Yeah, I got a lot of work, and they're dragging me down with the work.
I don't care about the work thing, just so we're making progress here. That's what we're working on here. I'm here to make sure that progress is happening here. And it's delicious. Luckily, he only has those fleeting dismissive moments now and again.
Yeah. So, Chad, we've illuminated the drops issue. You don't need to get a lot more drops, though you can do it for the taste reason, just having more stuff to put in your mouth.
So,
and it might process your body better. So it's both and. Yeah, you need to take more drops, even though it ain't useful.
So I think...
No, it's useful, but don't think it's useful.
Right.
So what Chad is asking or creating or setting in motion here is that it would be the fastest path to his joy to have a larger RNA bottle at one lick.
Yeah.
At one lick, you mean putting more in his mouth?
No. Instead of having 900 drops in a bottle, to have a bottle that's larger.
Yeah.
Now, why would that appeal to him?
So he can buy a bottle and he can drink as much as he wants in a month and still be okay.
Okay, so he wants a bigger bottle.
Yeah, because right now it's like I'm at my dosage would equal exactly 900 drops a month at the rate I am. So now I have to go up to 2 bottles, but I wouldn't be consuming 2 bottles a month. I'd be consuming 1 bottle a month plus a bit, right?
Why? Because, so you need a bigger bottle for that?
Well, that would be one way.
Right. If he had a larger bottle available to buy, he could buy it and then he could freely engage in more and not actually have a double volume capacity. Because the price wouldn't double if you doubled the amount in a bottle.
But it's a bigger bottle.
Yeah.
It'd be a bigger bottle for those that were. And you probably wouldn't have to do thousands of those, but like Brian and a handful of folks that are requesting that, then you're just basically, okay, so number one, here's what you would do. You would call the ones who are in charge of that, and you'd say, hey, I'd like you to consider making me up a magnum size bottle because I'm engaging more.
Mm-hmm.
And then make it so, and then it can very easily find you.
Okay.
Then you get to increase your amount without doubling your cost and still get to play with it and work it out for you. But... it's just more out of a matter of convenience than anything else.
Yeah.
As long as you're not dragging it out, and making it go longer, because you're going to benefit mostly from each generation changes the whole RNA.
So we're going to get even more interesting stuff that you might want to take less doses when you get to the next powerful level.
No, maybe, maybe not, because, but see, his body...
Or you get bored of what the 50 drops you're taking, and then the new generation will be give you 50 drops, but it'll be stronger. So it'll satisfy
you. It won't get to a point where you're having a gallon a day, is what we're trying to come to.
Right, so I just want to taste that generation, and then the next one, and the next one.
And then... and work through it. But now, nothing wrong with the play. Nothing
you're
wrong
saying
with
if
play.
You get, you won't get a gallon because you get a stronger generation, so you'll always
just have an
average-sized bottle.
Exactly. And in whatever level that he likes to do, that's fine. That's not a problem. But, you know, like if it's more than 900 drops a month, okay, fine. But then as the generations continue, you'll find that they're basically... well, the same way, like you've noticed already, that the taste has changed for you.
Yeah, it's become more acidic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and yet, now for JW, he likes tart. He enjoys tart things, sort of sharp things. And for him, it's changed, and it's more like a grape soda, like a Grapeco.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes more like a fizzy grape drink. So it's actually lost some of that acidity for him, you see.
Yeah, for me it's become more acidic, and it almost tastes like raw kombucha culture, which I actually like. I was drinking that before RNA drops.
Hey, you know what, Jed? Talking to Kiki yesterday, that's what he does in New York. He works at a kombucha factory or whatever that is. He makes that. What's kombucha?
It's a fermented tea, and it grows basically a mold culture on top of it.
And you sell what? A tea?
You sell the tea with the live culture, so there'll be the stringy culture inside of the tea.
Who invented this? Where does this come from? Thailand
China,
or something?
China or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what he does. He does kombucha products. He's in the factory doing that.
Yeah, actually, he told me that a while ago.
Okay, by email.
Chatting online, yeah.
Oh, Skype?
Facebook chat.
Yeah, not audio. You haven't spoken to him.
No, I've never talked with him on the phone.
Oh, okay. Okay, Ion, I think we should end.
All in, all good, all done, number one?
Yeah, thanks.
You're most welcome. All right. Therefore, we are totally happy, deliciously, completely, and forever, Yul Brynner.